Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and it's always a blessing when we have the children up here singing and being able to see their parents in them. Amen. And the older they get, the more you can tell exactly where they came from. Amen. And the more you see them acting up here, and you get some ideas. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching a series on the divisions of the Bible. The divisions of the Bible. Now, we have looked at 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the first division is the law. The second division is a history. Five books of the law, 12 books of history that gives us the history of the nation of Israel. And you can follow the history that the Bible has recorded for us in those 12 books. Then you have 6 books of poetry, 16 books of prophecy to close out the Old Testament. Now, we looked at the 4 major prophets, and then we've looked at a couple of the minor prophets. There's 12 of the minor prophets, and we learned from Hosea, the first of the minor prophets, that God prepares his servants to preach his messages. And that's the DNA of God. He still does that today. If you're called of God, and if you are in a position to where you're going to teach the Word of God, God will prepare you to teach His Word if you will look to Him. And it does so much more. It helps the people to receive it when it's something that's in you, you know. And God puts it in you, and you study and you prepare. Every lesson is important. You have an opportunity to influence people in their thinking. And Sunday school teachers, that child that you are influencing and passing that child on to the next age level where that teacher can influence them. And our plan is all the way through until we raise them. Amen. They get married and establish their children. Then they'll bring their children back to start out all over again. Amen. And you see that. You see them start out in the younger classes and just go through all the different classes. And we'll continue to do that from generation to generation until the rapture of the church. I believe that's God's plan for us to do that. And so we find that the first message was in Hosea, that God prepared Hosea through having him marry an adulterous wife, knowing what she would do, that would picture God's children, Israel, and their relationship with God. And once he experienced that, he was better prepared to be able to preach to them God's message because it came from the heart. Amen. It just wasn't getting through teaching an outline. They were being used of God. And that's how God wants to use us. If you're teaching the Word of God, God's giving that gift, a spiritual gift, or as a pastor to preach the Word of God, then it's very important that we make sure that we get it in us and God will prepare us. I tell you, sometimes I have a very difficult time in preparing to preach, and it's because of you. Amen. So I blame it on you every time. Because I've got to be prepared to preach it, and sometimes God gives me things that's a little harder to preach, amen? But he knows what the needs of our people are, and so the idea there is that's the DNA of God. And that Hosea, we find this in the minor prophets, and then we find the very next one was Joel. In Joel, we find that God prepares his people to receive his messages. He had the swarm of or the insects come through, the invasion of the insects, and how they devoured the land. And that would prepare them for the prophets to tell them that's what's going to happen when you're taken into captivity if you don't repent. God is going to call up an army, and he's going to empower this army to come in and devastate God's people. They'll be ate up and devoured and taken into captivity. And that's the DNA of God as well. God continues to do that. We find that in the Old Testament. And we find that it helps us to understand who God is. And if you will, God will prepare you for every message that's preached from the church that God plants you in. If we're aware of that. That's why he tells us not to forsake the assembly, because God prepares his church and the teaching and the preaching for the members of the church. If you're not there, you're missing out on a lesson, something that God has for you. And so it's not just fun and games, and it is spiritual warfare, and it's very serious that we receive what God has for us if we are going to maintain that testimony and accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish. As I preached on this morning, one lie, amen, you believe one lie, And Satan can use that to devastate a person. And we have to stay around the truth to protect us and to help us to not to receive a lie, but to base our lives on the truths of God's word. So we find that the rest of the minor prophets, you'll find that that's basically what will take place. It's something that has taken place over and over again. There's the prophet goes to warn the nation of Israel, because they all see the same thing. They have the same future. They're going to, if they don't repent, God is going to judge them. And he's going to bring in the invasion of the land and take them into captivity. And after the warnings, then the judgment. And then we find the love and the mercy of God in the restoration. He would restore them after 70 years, not as they were before, but he would allow them to go back into their land. And then later on, as we've already noticed, that God made a nation out of Israel again. And mainly, God's restoration for the Jews will be in the 1,000-year millennial reign. Okay, so the prophets are preaching that and teaching that. And the minor prophets closing out the Old Testament, getting ready for the coming of Christ. And so in this, the book of Jonah is the one book in the remainder of the minor prophets that gives us a illustration, if you will, of what God is preaching through his prophets to his people, Israel. And so that's where I want to finish out, and I'm going to close out this Old Testament, minor prophets, with looking at this book of Jonah. So Jonah chapter 1, go ahead and stand with me tonight. I trust that helped you to know where we're at in closing out the Old Testament and the divisions of the Bible, these minor prophets. Jonah chapter 1, let's just read the first three verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." This is commandments of God to Jonah. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we thank you for what we've already received and being in the house of the Lord tonight. But Father, now as we look at this example that you've given us of Jonah and kind of putting it all together as we close out this Old Testament minor prophets, I pray, God, that you would just give each one of us that ear to hear exactly what you have to say to us and help us to make whatever applications necessary. Now empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Jonah is actually a lesson on obedience. And that's basically the message that God has from the nation of Israel. When Israel was obedient to God, they had the blessings of God. When they were running from God, going opposite, doing opposite what God had for them to do, then there was a judgment of God. And if there was not a repentance in time, then there would be the judgment, would take them into captivity, and then there would be devastation. But then a merciful God would restore his people as they would cry out once again. Many times it would be the next generation, but they would cry out to him for deliverance. So the first thing we look here in Jonah is Jonah running from God. Now, as we look here in the first three verses, it's very evident that Jonah heard from the Lord. God told Jonah what to do, and Jonah ran from God's command. If you will, basically, God said go, and Jonah said no. Not going to go there, not going to do that. The Bible didn't tell us a reason behind that. There's a lot of speculation. Who knows why a person says no to God? No, it might have been that he hated the Ninevites because they had done something to him or his family. He did not want, and we know later on, he did not want God to forgive them. He wanted God to judge them. And sometimes our hatred of people will keep us from being a witness to them and keep us from being the light that God wants us to be to the dark world. Who knows? And so you can whenever the Bible is silent on something, you can put in there, you know, your thoughts on that. Amen? Because it really doesn't matter why. The most important thing that we find here is that they turned away from God. And they ran from God. He ran in the opposite direction, thinking he could block out God's voice. Have you ever thought that you could block out the conviction of the Holy Spirit? And in church, and the Spirit of God starts convicting you through the preaching of the Word of God, and you try to shut him down, you try to change your thinking, try to do something, focus on that fly hovering above the head of the person in front of you. Focus on somebody getting up in services and walking out. Now, listen to me. I think we ought to be mindful and try to keep distractions down in the services, because we're dealing with very serious a matter. And when we preach the Word of God, God's prepared the people all week long. God's prepared the preacher all week long. And now God is having His will and His way in the services, as both are listening and both are yielding to God. It's a sanctuary. It's like a heart surgery. I don't think anyone would want anybody, especially if you're the one that the surgeon was working on, anyone interrupting the surgeon because they had to go to the bathroom. I think that you would want that surgeon to stay focused on what he's doing. Amen. So I'm for keeping down distractions, but listen to me. Don't use distractions as an excuse not to listen to God. If you'll notice when I'm preaching, if there's something going on over here, I'll walk on this side. You know, somebody's not looking at me and not paying attention, I'll look to somebody that's paying attention. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to have wrong thoughts going through my mind. Amen. As a preaching the Word of God, I would encourage you to do the same thing. There's always going to be possibilities to be distracted. And sometimes we're looking for a distraction because we don't want to hear what's being preached. But that will not get you away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because if you're saved, He dwells within you. When you leave, no matter how far you try to run, He's there with you. And if it's God's will, if God wants to convict you, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, or you're doing something He doesn't want you to do, His conviction will be there. Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. Verse 7, Psalms chapter 139, verse 7 down to verse 12. The Bible says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." And that's now that hell is Sheol, hell in the Old Testament. You have to look at that. That's the grave. Okay, if I try to die and get myself out of this, you're still aware of what's going on in my life. If I go to the grave, if you will. Whether shall I go from the presence, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness as the light are both alike to thee. God's going to be there. If you're saved, He's not going to stop convicting you over something that He wants you to do, or something that He wants you to stop doing. It's sin. If you're God's child, He's going to judge sin. And again, that was the message to the nation of Israel. You're God's children. You're to represent God to the world. Start acting like it. Stop following after false gods, and stop accepting the gods of the heathen, and focus on the God that called you, that made you all that you are, and serve Him. Jonah was living in sin. The Bible says in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if that's you, you're God's child, just like the nation of Israel, he's going to send a message. There's going to be a prophet. The Spirit of God's going to convict you. Stop trying to run from God and just do what God says to do. If not, we'll find ourselves in the same place that Jonah did. Look at chapter 1. Go back to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah thought that I don't want to go to Nineveh, so I'm just going to die. And so he tells the people of the ship, throw me overboard, I'll die, and it'll be over. Jonah said, I basically want to die. Throw me over. I'll drown in the ocean. I would rather die than go to Nineveh. Can I tell you, there's some things that are worse than death? I think Jonah found that out. God knows what's worse than death. He knows how to get our attention. He has a plan. In verse 17, now the Lord had prepared. God thinks ahead and God prepares. The Lord had prepared a great fish. In the New Testament, it's called a whale. So it's all right to call Jonah and the whale. Amen? Some people say, oh, it's called a great fish. In the Old Testament, New Testament, it's called a whale. But it doesn't matter. And they wanted to dissect the whale to find out, is it a possibility that somebody could actually live in the belly of the whale for 3 days? You're missing the point. God gave us the air that we breathe. He designed the body for his creation. Amen. If he did all of this, I think he could prepare a whale to house anyone, even the whole family if necessary, for as long as he wanted it to house them. You're missing the point. It's God. And the Bible says he prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. He didn't want Jonah to die. Jonah wanted to die. He's wanting to tell Jonah there's something worse than death. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That's all it took. Now Jonah wants to run to God. He realizes, this is worse than death. And I could be in here for the rest of my life, alive in the belly of a whale, unless I do what God wants me to do. Yeah. The Bible says in verse 2, chapter 2 rather, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Can I tell you, over and over again, Israel would rebel from God. They thought they knew more than God knew, and they thought they could do whatever they wanted to do, and yet God had a purpose for them. They were to be the light of the world. They were to represent God to the rest of the world. And so when they would rebel against God and accept all these other false gods and abomination to God, then God would judge them. And sometimes the judgment of God would be worse than death. And when the people would see what God had done and all the things around, then they would get back to the place and realize the blessings of walking with God. And I walked away from that. And they would cry out to God that God would save them, that cry out to God that God would deliver them. In the book of the Judges, over and over again, just a repetitive circle of life, if you will. And yet it goes on with us today. But they cried out from the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, the grave, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. God did it in a way that they would have a desire to once again return unto the Lord. Because it's a free will. God will not force us, but God will take us through trials and tribulations until our desire is to get right with Him. Isaiah chapter 55. Go back with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Do you have a desire to hear from God? I mean, that's why you're in church. Your desire is really not to hear me. Amen. I don't have anything for you. The only thing that I have that everyone here needs and wants is the Word of God. Amen. That's God's design. This is what He's called me to do. This is what I realize. People do not need my philosophies. People need God's Word. And I trust that I can preach in a way that you'll desire to listen so that you'll receive God's Word. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. You don't have no money, it's free. Come to God, has what you have need of. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's a gift of God. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We're spending money on trying to find something that's going to bring joy into our lives, and we're dedicating ourselves to this flesh and to this world, thinking that there's something that's going to bring me happiness. And all along, it's what God offers. Yeah. If we'll just turn to Him. Incline your ear. God wants you to have a desire to hear from Him. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. That's what the prophets were preaching to the nation of Israel before they would ever go into captivity. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You got to turn away from the flesh. Got to turn away from sin. And you got to turn to God's ways. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. Our journey back to a right fellowship with God can be filled with many challenges. Back in the book of Jonah, we find these challenges, verses 3 through 9, chapter 2. Jonah running to God, but there would be some trials and there would be some challenges that Jonah would go through in the belly of the whale to be right, so that when God does have the whale vomit him out, he is ready to do what God wanted him to do. And so verse 3, we find Jonah on his way back to walking with God. He has a desire now. He has a desire. But the Bible says, for thou hast cast me into the deep. He's having to deal with the consequences of his sin, the chastisement, those scars that will always be there. For thou hast cast me into the deep and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all the billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. If you ever wondered what it would be like to being in the belly of a whale, Jonah's explaining it to us. Amen. He's telling us, and this is worse than death. You don't want to be outside the will of God, under the conviction, under the chastisement, the judgment of God, basically. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth was with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, and into the holy temple, thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He's of a right mind. He's of a right spirit. He's no longer running from God, but he spent time running to God. And after he spent time running to God, chapter 3, Jonah's running with God. Oh, for Israel to run with God. Oh, for God's children to run with God. Accomplish great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Chapter 3, verse 10 and 2, it says, And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, a second chance to do what God had for him to do. God's will for your life is not going to change. You have to get on board. You have to look to him. No matter what you're fighting, surrendering to God's will is the best thing that any one of us could ever do. The word of the Lord came again unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh. Same thing he said in chapter 1. That great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Don't go and tell them what you want to tell them. Go and tell them exactly what I tell you to say to them. Preach my word. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8-word revival. That's all that God told him to say. And yet because it was God's message, the power behind it impacted all of Nineveh. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth. That's repentance, if you will. That's a symbol of repentance. And sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. They were going into a fast. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. Or either, can I tell you that God never repents as what we think of repentance. What this is saying is if we change, then God's judgment will change. And he will not judge us like he would have if we failed to repent. If we change, then God's judgment upon us will change. You never know if God will turn and do this. And God saw their works, that they turned and their evil way, from their evil way, and it was genuine. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Running with God to accomplish God's will. Whether you're a servant, a pastor, a teacher, or you're a lay person, if you've been saved a day or 60 years, the best place for us to be is running with God, accomplishing his will. In concluding this Old Testament, I want you to look to what Moses gave to them in Deuteronomy chapter 30 before they would ever enter into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. God says, I'm giving you the choice. I'm presenting truth, but you have to choose to believe it and apply it. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That's what's placed out before us. That's exactly what the prophets would continue to do before the nation of Israel, is to lay out before them God's plan. And you get to choose. Every prophet would do his best to convince the nation of Israel to choose to serve the Lord. Every time you come to this Lighthouse Baptist Church, all we want to do is try to influence you while you're here to go out of this building and choose to serve. It's our choice. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for coming, because you give us that opportunity to influence you for the cause of Christ. There is a choice to be made. Life and death is set before us. Blessing and cursing. Let's choose to serve the Lord. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for your holy word. And as we've gone through and studied the divisions of the Old Testament, and now we're coming to a conclusion, and this conclusion is all about Israel having opportunity and a free will to choose. And Lord, that is exactly what we have today. And I pray that each one of us would search our own hearts and our minds. If there's something that we are doing that is bringing the conviction and judgment of God, God, help us to turn away from it. If there's things that we should be doing that we're not doing, Lord, I pray that we would be willing to start doing whatever it is you'd have us to do. But help us all to have a mindset to serve our God. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.